Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Sunday of Christ the King is taken from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John, and we will read from verse 33 through 38. It's John 18, verses 33 through 38, where we read in the name of our Lord. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, you bring us to the end of the church year. And it ends the same way it begins, with your reign. So, Father, we approach you this day as thankful people, knowing full well that you keep us, you sustain us, you watch over us, you have washed us and cleansed us in the blood of your Son, and made us pure and holy in your sight. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. And indeed, you understand, we follow the church year. You know, I like it. It's just wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to do. And this is the last Sunday of the church year. And when we come to the last Sunday of the church year, we really celebrate one of the days we can actually celebrate. We don't even know when Jesus was born. You know, we make a big deal about Christmas. We don't really know the date Jesus was born. Easter is an event that took place 2,000 years ago. It's something that is an ongoing thing that's every day. Christ the King Sunday really is something that we can celebrate in reality. It brings us to the point of the acknowledgement of the fact that our God reigns. He reigns. He reigns every day. He reigns every moment. He reigns whether we're awake. He reigns whether we're sleeping. He reigns. He is the King. And as a matter of fact, as the King, he calls the shots. He makes the determination of what's going on. We understand that the world is never in chaos. Now, we think it is, especially if we get on the internet. We're pretty sure it is. You know, and if we're not, then at least somebody will back it up, whether we watch television, listen to radio, or somebody. Somebody's going to tell us that the world is in chaos. Well, take a chill pill. The world is not in chaos. What appears to be chaotic, as a matter of fact, is simply the reality that God himself brought about. God indicated very clearly in Romans 8 that he would make all of creation subject to nonsense. And he says very clearly that he made that creation subject to nonsense to subject it to hope, that it would have hope. Because what God wanted us to understand is what took place in the garden, God did not want that to remain. He would not have that remain forever. The fallenness of humanity was not to be forever. It was to end. And that God would bring forth a day when he would end it. That as a matter of fact, that no longer would we be under the curse. That now the curse would be lifted from us. Instead, there would be this tremendous blessing that would come upon us. This blessing that would bring us to hope, that we would understand that there is always hope of a better day, that we would realize that behind what we see as being chaotic, God is at work in fulfilling his purpose always. God is always there doing exactly as he wants. And he has enlisted us, as a matter of fact, to join him. When we come to the last Sunday of the church year, we come to something that's real, that we can understand, that is tangible to us. The fullness of the understanding of this reign, that Jesus is ours by faith, that he is a present reality for us, living in our very hearts, and he has given us the Holy Spirit to bear testimony to this reality. The world is not going to understand this. It can't, because it's subject to nonsense. So it goes through the throes of what it goes through because it can't do otherwise. It's subject to nonsense. Everything is nonsense to the world. And this is precisely illustrated in the text that we read on Christ the Sunday, Christ the King Sunday. Jesus stands before a Roman governor. And we don't even really appreciate this because none of us have ever lived under absolutism. We've never come to that point where we've dealt with an absolute monarch. We've never dealt with any sort of realm like that, where you don't have lawyers, you don't have somebody to stand up and voice anything for you, you don't have anything like that. You stand before this guy, and this guy just determines your fate, that's all. If he woke up on the wrong side of the bed and had a bad day that day, then he may take it out on you and nobody is going to say anything. Nobody's going to do a thing for you. If he happens to be in a good mood, you may have committed some absolutely horrendous crime and he may decide, I kind of like him, you know, so he's okay. We don't understand the circumstance in which Jesus stood before Pilate. Pilate held absolute sway. Rome held absolute sway over all of these things. And Jesus stands before Pilate, and Pilate does not know who he's talking to. He doesn't have the slightest idea of whom he's really dealing with. He thinks Jesus is nuts, honest to goodness. He thinks Jesus is a crazy man. And it says that Jesus came again into the governor's residence, and Pilate called out for Jesus and says, "You yourself are the king of the Jewish people," and that's the way he said it. "You're a king? You're the king of the Jewish people? Take a look at yourself sometime. Look like a king? You look like some crazy person." And Jesus simply says to him, "Did you come up with this yourself? Or did somebody else tell you this?" And Pilate says right away, "I'm not Jewish, am I?" And he's telling them right away, "I'm Roman. I'm Roman. I'm way better than you crazy people. I'm a Roman." He says, "I'm not Jewish. I'm not caught up with your stupid religious fables and things like that. I don't have anything to do with that." I'm Roman. We rule everything. I don't have to worry about your nonsense. He says, I govern this place. And Jesus says to him, Pilate says, here's the crux of the issue. He says, your own people delivered you over to me. He says, it's your own people that did this to you. So what exactly did you do? He said, what exactly did you do? And Jesus says this very wonderful thing to him. And what he's telling him is, I'm sorry, but you just don't get it. You just don't get it. You don't understand. He says, my kingdom isn't of this world. He says, my kingdom isn't like Rome. My kingdom isn't something like that. My kingdom isn't anything like that. If my kingdom were like that, he says, then my staff, literally what he says, my staff officers, referring to the apostles, which many had a pretty poor staff, but he says, my staff officers, he says, would struggle. He says, they'd fight you. He says, you'd have a problem. He says, so that I would not be given over to the Jewish leadership. But he tells him, but now my kingdom isn't from here. He says, that's not the nature of my kingdom. My kingdom isn't from here. And Pilate says, so you really are a king? Are you saying that you really are a king? That you're like some sort of foreign king or something like that? And Jesus says to him, basically, you keep calling me a king. He says, you're the one who says that I'm a king. And he says, and as a matter of fact, he says, it's for that reason that I was born. He says, it's for that reason that I came into the world. He says, is exactly for this purpose that I testify to that which is true. And this is not true, like we use the word true. The Greek word for true, which you understand the New Testament is written in Greek, the Greek word for true does not simply mean true versus false. The Greek word for true actually means real. He says, this is the real thing. He says, what I came into the world is to testify to that which is real. I came to tell you about what's real. What I want you to understand is we don't know what real is. And I've used this illustration for you before. You're sitting on a church pew or a chair up there, and your backside is not touching the ground. Because you're pretty sure that that pew that you're sitting in is real. That's a really solid thing. It's not. 99.5% of what you're sitting on is space. The only thing that makes that feel real to you is the fact that there are forces at work within the atoms of what's inside there that keep all of that together. That's not real. As a matter of fact, if anything would upset any of those forces, guess what? Your backside hits the ground. This world has been created for us. And we are sensory beings. We're sentient. So we experience things in a given way, and they make us think that they are real. They give us the sense of understanding that they are real. But the scripture tells us all the time, no, they're transitory. They're temporal. As a matter of fact, when the end comes, it says very clearly, God will roll up the universe like a scroll. I love that illustration. If you've ever watched a rabbi do the scroll, you know, and they roll it up and everything like that, he says, in the end, God's going to roll up the universe like a scroll. He says, it's going to be like a bowl of Rice Krispies. No, he doesn't say that. But St. Peter uses an illustration like that. He says, the sound is going to be like a whoosh and a crackle. He says, when God ends the world, it's going to be a whoosh and a crackle. Rice Krispies, you pour the milk on, that's it. Universe is over. He says, it goes up in burning fire. He says, in extreme fire that you can't even imagine. And I've told you before, you turn on a light switch, this building did not burn down when Gwen turned them on today. Amazing. Each one of those electrons in that cord is at 144,000 degrees Fahrenheit. But they don't release all of that energy at once. They're quantized. That brings you a little background of quantum physics. They're quantized. You don't get all of that at once. So that when you turn on the light switch, it's all, you know, you blow up. There's an order to them. Because God has given them their order. When God stops giving them their order, guess what? Poof! That's it. Snap, crackle, pop. A whoosh and a crackle. It's over. Jesus says, I came to tell you what's real. I came to tell you and to show you what's real. That's what I'm here for. And he says, as a matter of fact, this is what I was born for, he tells Pilate. This is what I was born for. I was born to tell you what's real so that you would know it. And he says, everyone who's of the real, he says, everyone who comes to understand the real, hears my voice. He says, they hear me and they know what I'm talking about. And Pilate turns to him in his final act of scoffing at this man that he thinks is nuts. And he says to him, like any good philosopher or any person that's dealt with politics at all and is honest about it, turns to him and says, what is real? What's real? What's true? We all know that this world has no truth within it. Truth is exactly what we make it. It's what we want it to be. Pilate says, on your concept of real. And that's precisely the point. I've had people tell me many, many times, well, there can't be a God. You sit there and say, well, yeah, there can't be a God. Well, why not? Well, I can't see him, you know, I can't do this, can't do that, you know, that sort of thing like that. And it's like, oh, gag me with a spoon. You're telling me that the universe circles around you? Get over yourself. You ain't that great. The reality of things is there may be things that are real that are not available to your understanding, and I hate to shock you, but that's true. And this is precisely what Jesus was saying to Pilate. You don't understand, Pilate. To me, Rome is nothing. It's nothing. Rome's no big deal. It says, I can make a billion Romes if I want. I can do any of those things. Rome isn't significant to me. What's significant to me is you. You are significant to me. It's you that matters. It's your life. Your life that matters. It's you. I'm here for you. And if you will hear me, if you will hear me, then you will know the truth. You will know the reality. And if you will know the reality, you will be saved. There is no devastation that can come upon you and steal what I will give you. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It will make you to be free. You will know the fullness of the salvation of God if you will hear me, because what he doesn't understand, what Pilate cannot understand, is Jesus told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He says elsewhere, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Pilate didn't understand. Right in front of him is the fullness of everything. The book of Colossians says, in him the Godhead dwells bodily. He is the fullness of everything that is. He is the agent of everything that is created. There is no other reality outside of the person standing in front of Pilate. And Pilate scoffs at him, even as the world does now, scoffs at him without realizing this is the reality. This man is the reality. And what has he done? He's entered into the world for what purpose? In order to save us. To save us, to bring us to the reality, so that we would see and know the reality, that we would be done with our stupid, limited thinking. That as a matter of fact, we would turn, which is what repent means. We would change our minds about God. We would come to the fullness of understanding what God really is all about. Because God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. This man stands before Pilate not to gain any purpose of his own, but to gain our salvation, to give us life, and to reign forever as king, king over all of the living. This is Christ the King Sunday. We don't give presents because wise men didn't show up. And I hate to tell you, they didn't show up at Christmas either. Wise men, you know, they didn't have jet-powered camels. Took them about 6 months minimum to get from where they headed to get to where Jesus was born, which is why in Luke it says when they came into the house, they were no longer in a visitor's house or anything like that. They came into the house where Joseph and Mary were living. There's no wise men that show up on Christ the King Sunday. There's no gifts born. There's none of those things that we put into Christmas. There's no Easter baskets. There's no none of those things that we do. But this is the greatest day of the church year. Because Jesus reigns. The reality is real. That reality is real. The earthly power has no power over us. And death has no power over us. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all iniquity. He took away all of our sin. He ended the sin of the world. And he made us righteous and holy in the sight of God. And by the power of his shed blood, we will stand. We will stand on the day of judgment. As a matter of fact, no accusation will be able to be made against us because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from everything that we could be accused of. We will stand before God holy, blameless in his sight, without spot or wrinkle. And you are not smiling. This is the greatest day you can possibly imagine. You are the children of God, the beloved children of God, through the finished work of Jesus Christ. The world is subjected to nonsense for hope, and we have the hope. We have hope. We know full well that this purpose cannot be thwarted. This man who stands before Pilate And Pilate cannot understand, and Rome cannot understand, this same man is present for us today. This same man is with us and in us. And by the Holy Spirit, he testifies of that finished work so that we would know the power of the kingdom of God and we would live in the power of the kingdom of God. Because that kingdom is an eternal reality. Thine is the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou or death hath won. It's fixed. It's a fixed reality for us. It's true. It's real. When we come to Christ the King Sunday at the end of the church year, we end the church year the same way we begin it. Next week, we start the first Sunday in Advent. We live in expectation of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We end the church year in expectation of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he promised, because he promised, because his reign is eternal. And we come to him. We come to him in the fullness of our failure, in the fullness of our weakness, and everything that we've done wrong. We come to him in the fullness of all of that, confessing ourselves to be in need. And he sends us not some guy to just tell us, well, you know, things will be okay. He sends us his only son, the king, to take away our weakness, to take away our sin. To give us life. To give us life. We come to God for life. We come in a planet stained by death. We come to God for life. And God just gives it freely. Just gives it. He gives it by his grace. Because he so deeply loves us. And his son, as the king, protects us and he keeps us. And he tells us very clearly, oh yes, I have a place prepared for you. You don't even have to think about it. He says, I have a place prepared for you. There is no way and no thing that can ever snatch you from my hand. I will hold you preciously in my hand forever. I will keep you there forever. You will always be mine. Always mine. And that is the way that you will live your life for eternity. So we might as well just get started now. There's no sense waiting. It's okay to start living that way now. To understand that the grace of God, the kingdom of God, is in our very hearts. It's in our very midst. It's a present reality for us. And we have every right to declare ourselves to be children of the King, the offspring of the Almighty God, restored through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and understand that he has taken away the curse. That now we live in the blessing of God, awaiting his return. And we say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Come Lord Jesus. See, we need to understand who we are in the person of Jesus Christ. We need to understand reality. We need a dose of reality. Because otherwise, because we're sentient beings, we go through our life registering things according to our senses, according to what we think. And we don't realize what we think is not a very effective way of measuring things. It's very selfish. And we look at the world and say, why is it so narcissistic? Why is it so selfish? Well, because it's measuring things according to its own understanding. But when a person is liberated from that, they come to that point when Jesus, even as we sing, "Lo, Jesus meets thee, risen from the tomb." When we meet Jesus, lovingly he greets thee. Lovingly he greets us. When we understand that, all of our sensory experience goes flying away and we're brought to the reality. We come to the reality. The living God who loves us so greatly that he gave us his only begotten son to stand before this Roman governor and suffer on a Roman instrument of torture, to suffer death, and to rise again on the third day, and to take us with him, free from the sin of the world, free from our iniquity, free of everything, every weight that could possibly beset us in the race. And knowing the salvation of our God, this is a day for celebration. It's a day for a big party. It's a day for a good old party that doesn't stop for another year and then just renews again. This is a day of joy. It's a day of immense, immense happiness. It's a day of amazement and wonder. It is a day that we stand before our God and our God is present with us. And he says to us, "You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. Your life is mine. You are hid in my Son. You are hidden in him. You are seated together with me in the heavenlies. You are mine. And nothing will separate you ever from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So great is the power of his love for us." It's okay to smile when you come to church. You don't have to look like somebody made you do something. It's okay. You belong to your God. And his Spirit is in you. And his life is all over you. And he invites you this day to come to his communion. He invites you, simply says, "Yep, you come." He says, "You come. You come to me." He says, "And I will feed you. I will feed you. I will strengthen you. I will enable you. I will assure you of all that there is of the goodness of God. I will give you every bit of it." And you partake. And you walk out that door knowing full well that you are a child of God. And you walk out amongst the children of God. And you bring with you the gospel of Jesus Christ so that the people out there can hear and know Jesus Christ suffered and died for them too. Jesus Christ wants them, every last one. He gave himself for every last one. That this reality would pervade our country, pervade our world, pervade everywhere, and drive out the darkness with light, and drive out the hate with love. And the grace of God would abound in every aspect of our lives. So you come, and you partake of his grace, and you know in your heart the reality, because Jesus Christ is with you and in you and will be forever. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let us pray.